This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are your closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. May corn, 492, no change. July corn, 496 and a quarter, no change. September corn, 491 and a quarter, down a quarter. May soybeans, 1436 and a half, no change. July soybeans, 1407 and three quarters, up three quarters. August soybeans, 1351 and a half, up four. May wheat, 695 and a half, down 15. July wheat, 699 and a quarter, down 15 and a quarter. September wheat, 706 and three quarters, down 15 and a half. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese, and this is Friday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were steady to lower on Friday afternoon. Wheat retreated on technical trading, and corn and soybean trading closed steady prior to the USDA report due out Monday. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady at 458 to 486. Soybean bids were steady at 1394 to 1436. And in the central part of the state, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady at 458 to 487. Soybean bids were steady to 4 cents lower at 1426 to 1438. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were steady to one higher at 466 to 496. Soybean bids were 3 to 6 cents lower at 1419 to 1450. And wheat bids were 15 cents lower at 675 to 713. Illinois soybean processors' cash soybean bids were steady to 5 cents lower at 1447 to 1477. Basis was steady to 5 lower at 10 to 40 over the May. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 483.40 to 518.40 per ton, and that's down $2.10. with the basis steady at 15 to 50 over the May. Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were steady at 480 to 498, and the basis steady at 12 under to 6 over the May. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids 1 to 2 cents higher at 492 to 496, with the basis 1 to 2 higher at option to 4 over the May. Soybeans ended steady at 1435 to 1443, with the basis steady at 2 under to 6 over the May. New crop wheat prices were 14 to 15 cents lower at 664 to 675, with the basis steady to 1 higher at 24 to 35 over the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 2 to 3 cents lower at 517 to 518, and these elevators lowered their soybean prices 1 to 6 cents with quotations of 1464 to 1466. Soft wheat closed 20 to 22 cents lower at 728 to 731. Milo ended the day steady at 512 to 517. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. In the northern and western part of the state, corn ranged from 447 to 462, and soybeans 1137 to 1177. In central Illinois, corn ranged from 447 to 465, and soybeans were 1158 to 1176. In the southern part of the state, corn ranged from 447 to 467, and soybeans 1159 to 1191. Soft wheat ranged from 659 to 682. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash and here are your livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle 146.50, up 2 cents. June live cattle 138.35, down 17 cents. August live cattle 135.07, down 35 cents. April feeder cattle 178.35, down $1.15. May feeder cattle, 179.50, down 37 cents. August feeder cattle, 181.02, down 12 cents. April lean hogs, 125.57, up 10 cents. May lean hogs, 125.20, down 10 cents. June lean hogs, 129.57, up 27 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday the 28th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.06 higher in the range of $123 to $129.01, with a weighted average carcass price of $124.80. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady to stronger with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 79 to 84, 4 to 5 weights 80 to 86, 5 to 6 weights 85 to 90, and 600 pounds and up were 89 to 92. From the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts of country buying points were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging in price from $85 to $92. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 9,236 head. And now for the report from the Walnut Livestock Auction for Thursday, March the 27th. They had receipts of 236 head. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were 151 to 155. Select and choice steers were 143.50 to 147. And select steers were 134 to 139. Choice slaughter Holstein steers were 135.50 to 140, and choice slaughter heifers were 151.50 to 152. Select and choice heifers were 148. And on to the slaughter cows. They had some breakers bringing 98 to 105, boners were 98 to 103.50, and leans were 81 to 87. Now from the United Producers March Red Cow and Feeder Calf Sale. They had receipts of 581 head, starting with the feeder steers, medium and large ones. Three weights were 212 to 223, four weights 200 to 221, five weights 200 to 204, and six weights were 167 to 181. Onto the feeder Holstein steers. They were three weights were 161.63, four weights 150 to 169, and five weights at 166. Feeder heifers, medium and large ones, four weights were 190 to 203, five weights were 173 to 199, and six weights were 146 to 156.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. March corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.89. April corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.87. March corn delivered to Scottville, $4.80. April corn delivered to Scottville, $4.78. March beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.35. April beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.31. March beans delivered to Scottville, $14.24. April beans delivered to Scottville, $14.20. March wheat delivered to Scottville, $6.87. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $4.89. Corn at Scottville is $4.80. Beans at Scottville are $14.24. Beans at Greenfield are $14.35, and wheat at Scottville is $6.87. As planting season approaches, we will once again be at the mercy of Mother Nature and how much or how little rain she will want to give us. A tactic many farmers are using to help control water in their fields is tile drainage. I spoke with Brian Brown of Ag Drainage, Inc.
When you look at drainage as a whole, and our market, we've had really good grain prices. And as anybody that's been in farming a long time will tell you, there's three most important secrets to farming, and all of them are the same answer of drainage. So once you've controlled your drainage, manage your water on your farms, It's easier to maximize yield. And we are definitely in a market where we're looking at declining price. So bushels are going to be the most important thing carrying us forward in our farming operations. And that comes down to drainage. When you look at, you know, surface or subsurface, you know, we're more focused with the tiling at the subsurface drainage, which in turn over 3 to 5 years will bring in to improve your surface drainage. 30% of the fields out there are tiled. So that's 70% that for some reason or another are not tiled. And we are yet to find a field that somewhat of tiling will not benefit it and help yield.
Now, when a farmer is debating whether they actually need to put down a drainage system, what are the reasons to push them in one direction or the other? Are there kind of some key thresholds that run constant?
Sure. The first thing you want to look at is your soil types. You want to look at outlets. You can very easily take a tiling project from a acceptable spending dollar per acre to an unacceptable with how far your outlet is. Your outlet being the closest place that you can take water to get it away from the field.
Let's go over some of the pros and cons of drainage systems. You mentioned the outlet of the field. Some people in the area, or just in general, are concerned with all this tiling going in that the water has to go somewhere. So where's it going?
Sure. You know, there's many things that tiling brings to the table, and obviously getting the excess water away from the field so that we can grow a better crop is the main thing of it. The biggest thing that hits us is, well, what about a dry year? I mean, I really don't want to tile my field because it could hurt me in a dry year. Well, that's the furthest thing from the truth. Actually, in a dry year, tiling will benefit you not because it's taking away the excess water, but because over the years of the tile being there, that field isn't holding excess water, so compaction's not as much of an issue, and it allows the corn roots or the bean roots to go down deeper to get to the water. Now, more so when you're looking at water quality, that more is on a surface drainage issue and not a tile drain issue. And I would say, you know, when you're looking at water quality and that'd be where you turn to your local NRCS. There are great programs to help manage your water quality with buffer strips. The tiling industry has developed a shutoff system, and there are programs through your NRCS to help cost share the shutoffs and begin to really manage your water levels in your tiling systems and really bring them to a desirable level of your own. We actually installed a shutoff system for a farmer just last week, and I was able to look at it firsthand, and it's really cool how it works. Because there's different levels, it's a box that stands underneath ground, and your outlet tile comes to it, and there's different slides in there where you can change the level of water you're maintaining in your tiles. And what we had talked about with it is managing that water. Once you get that crop established and growing, you can actually shut the water off and leave it in the field for the crop to utilize it. So. And this is a program that your local NRCS is offering. I mean, we are, as farmers and a local farmer in the area, we're really lucky to have the NRCS that we have, and they're very knowledgeable on these things. And, you know, I would tell you, if water quality is a concern of yours, definitely go talk to those guys, because it's their concern too. And we've really got a good crew in Montgomery County. And
that shutoff system sounds like something that would have really come in handy last year when we had all that moisture all at once and then none later on in the summer.
Yeah, really utilize for the crop later on and add some moisture. Let the tiling system work backwards rather than taking water away. You can leave it there.
Again, that was Brian Brown of Ag Drainage Incorporated. Drainage systems don't just have an impact on the farmer's crop, though. They also have an impact on the environment. I spoke with the chief of the Bureau of Water for the Illinois EPA, Marcia Wilhite.
Using tile to drain agricultural land is a common practice, particularly in central Illinois. And it's really important because of the flat lands that we have to get the water off so that crops can be productive. The downside of that is that the water that leaves the crop field through the tile drains can also be a way that nitrogen and, primarily nitrogen can leave the field and get into the nearby creeks and ponds and lakes, streams, and rivers in Illinois. And too much nitrogen can turn to nitrate, which causes some water quality problems. So we are eager for farmers to learn about what they can do to keep the nitrogen on the land rather than losing it in the water. They don't want to lose it anyway. They don't want to spend money on nitrogen that's just going to be lost to the water. So exploring and implementing conservation practices that can prevent those losses is a real important thing that farmers can do to help water quality and make sure that the money they spend on their nitrogen is used by the crop.
Right. That would be a win-win for both sides to keep the nitrogen in the fields.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And do you have just some examples of things that farmers can do to try to make that happen?
Sure. Well, first is making sure that they're optimizing the application rate that they are using. And that's something that they can talk with their certified crop advisor about. There's various sources of information that they can learn about what the right rate is for their particular field and their particular crop. And another strategy is using cover crops, because during the time when the field is empty and there's no crop growings, and cover crops can be used to hold the nitrogen as well as soil on the land. You can lose phosphorus off the land if you're getting erosion. So any kind of erosion control practices will keep the phosphorus on the land.
Now, with all of this drainage, it has to go somewhere. And there has been some concern that all of the tile that's going on in the Midwest has actually been contributing to the hypoxia situation in the Gulf.
Correct. When the nitrogen leaves the farm field, gets into the nearby creek, in Illinois, just about all of the creeks and rivers lead to the Mississippi River that then goes downstream to the Gulf of Mexico. And a recent science study by the University of Illinois shows that Illinois is contributing about 19% of the nitrogen that ends up in the Gulf of Mexico comes from our state. So we are wanting to encourage actions that will reduce that amount so that we can do our part to reduce that water quality problem. You know, farmers want to be good stewards of the land, and agencies like Illinois EPA are really relying on the farmers to just do more of the good things that they're already doing.
Yes, I'm sure everybody wants to be a good steward of their land, and nobody wants to cause any more damage to the hypoxia situation.
as well as, you know, your local lake that might be used as a public water supply for the nearby community.
Again, that was Chief of the Bureau of Water for the Illinois EPA, Marcia Wilhite. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.